Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is Dave Kubikin.
And we're two of the attorneys with the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to talk to you about estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. And you can be our very first caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. The last couple of weeks, we've gotten really, really busy in the second half hour and haven't gotten to all the phone calls. So we'd love for you to give us a call now. Again, 518-476-5900. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Debbie. What's going on? How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I was thinking it was going to be a beautiful sunny day, but now it looks like the rain's going to come in. Very sad.
Well, it's going to hopefully be a fun weekend for you because you're a mother and all the mothers out there, and hopefully the rain holds off a little bit so that tomorrow everyone has a wonderful day. Does Doc have any plans for you? Is he going to be in town?
No, but he already called me this morning. I was like, you know, you're a day early, right? But anyway.
he's a smart man, though. He locked in the call for the weekend, and then maybe he'll call you tomorrow, maybe he won't, but it's all gravy from there. Good job,
Zach. That's true. Good job, Zach. any big plans for your wife for Mother's Day?
Yes. She said what she wanted. I assume she's not listening today, so I feel fine saying this on the radio. She wants to go get a mani-pedi, and Ooh. She wants her car cleaned. So I'm going to take care of the latter of those two items, and she'll take care of her manicure and pedicure.
That sounds like a great
deal. And, of course, all the trappings and, you know, little presents and the kids and all that stuff. So it should be fun.
Well, that'll be cool.
For her. Yeah, yeah. I can tell you, though, Debbie, the office has been super busy. Like, we don't see each other. We talk only on the radio, apparently, now. And it's because there's appointments up the wazoo. And it's because of a bunch of different things, one of which is people are kind of freaking out about these potential tax changes in this infrastructure plan that the administration has brought forward. And I'm hearing some kind of misinformation out there. I've heard people really worried about what will happen to things like capital gains taxes or step up in their tax basis and so on. And I've had five or six clients this past week bring it up and say, oh, I want to get stuff done before this or that. I don't know if you're seeing the same thing.
I am. And it's interesting because a lot of people had no idea what the level of estate tax was. And there's, you know, talk down the road that the estate tax is going to change. I mean, right now, you could pass away with over $5 million. I'm in around numbers right now. You pass away with over $5 million per person in New York and over 11 for federal. So a lot of people aren't in that boat. But if it goes back to the other levels, I mean, who knows what the levels will be? I mean, in Massachusetts, where Jay Marie lives, it's still $1 million for state, and there's a lot of people that are in that category.
Yeah, and the like the math for it includes, you know, what is part of my estate. You know, we use that word estate so often. Right now, Debbie's talking about your taxable estate. When you die, your estate taxable estate. That includes everything, guys. It's like life insurance. It's going to include retirement. That's going to include real estate and obviously CDs, bank accounts, all those types of things. And, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only one that can say this, but I'm worth more dead than alive because I have things like life insurance. And when you add those things up, the last thing you want is to have a big tax bill or eat into the money that you're leaving to your kids or grandkids, as the case may be. So it's really good to be on top of those things. It's even more important, though, to make sure you talk to experts on it. So, for example, if you're going to call here and say, well, what's the plan and how is this going to impact my taxes, it's good to hear from Debbie and I. It's probably better to hear from your accountant and financial advisor on some of those things. And likewise, I heard this and you'll love this one, Debbie. I had a client this week say, well, I want to get a trust set up because I'm worried about the 7-year look back period. And I don't know where people get this, Debbie, but I hear 7 years all the time. And of course, it's not 7 years, it's five.
It's funny. I've heard seven for years. I mean, it's five. There's a 5-year look back for Medicaid if you have to go into a nursing home. But currently, good news, right? There's no look back period for community Medicaid, which is community Medicaid, right? Again, community Medicaid, which is care at home. As Dave calls it, care on your couch.
Patent pending. You always have to throw that in, Debbie, just in case. You know, patent
okay,
pending.
Good.
Well, so, like, I'd like to pick on you a little bit, Debbie, here, because I know that you've had a bunch of appointments and a bunch of people that have retained your services to set up trust in the last month, and specifically, you know, things like community Medicaid. And if I could interview for a second, when you're meeting with someone, a couple, and they're, you know, mom's not doing so well, or dad doesn't look like he's doing so well, or that, you know, they're not walking in, you know, easily into your room, right? They have some sort of walker or something that's helping them get in there. How do you make sure they realize that, you know, they're only going to get older, and you really do need to plan, because 5 years is a terribly long period of time. And while home care is available, certainly we know look back period currently, right? We don't always just get to decide to stay at home. Things don't always work out that way. So how do you kind of approach your clients?
Wow. You're like this. It depends. It's interesting because a lot of people don't think about it. The thing that you see a lot of times is the kids come in with the parents. They want to make sure that everything's in place. They're not thinking about care. They're thinking about if mom or dad pass away, what are we going to do? How are things going to go? But a trust, I always say it's an easy thing because you can set it and forget it. Patent pending. No. Anyway, so
I like
you can take, I think that's from another advertisement, but anyway, so you can set your trust up. The easy thing to put into a trust is a house, right? Because you don't do much with your house. It just sits there and grows in value. And as far as community Medicaid goes, a lot of people don't realize that it's available. And you've got kids that are, you know, this kid takes care of mom and dad during the day. This child comes over at night and takes care of them. You can get care at home. Medicaid will pay for it. And a lot of people don't realize that it can start out small. And I always use, actually, Harry. I use Harry's mother-in-law for an example, that whenever she got community Medicaid, she only had like 6 hours a week because she needed reminders to take her pills or she needed some help with this or that. By the time she passed away, she had care 10 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow. And the beauty of it is the care is something you need regardless of whether you qualify for a program or not, right? Like, we're not looking for finding a ways to get people in our homes to help us. That need already exists. It's already this new expense everyone's going to have. We talk about this all the time, every weekend, every consultation. The idea that, you know, care costs a lot of money, and it happens when we're not earning money anymore, right? We're in retirement. We have our pensions from New York State or GE. We have our Social Security. Maybe there's a required minimum distribution from our retirement, but that's our income. That's the whole thing. So if life gets more costly above and beyond your normal home expenses or your apartment expenses, and you have this thing called long-term care needs, right? How do we pay for it? Well, if you don't have enough income, we start eating into the assets, and that's where that trust that you keep talking about comes in so handy, because we're able to still have our assets in terms of being able to use and enjoy things. We're certainly still living in our home, even though the home might be in the trust. We're still getting the dividends and the interest from our stocks and bonds that are in the trust. But for purposes of qualifying for this program down the road, right, it's as if those assets aren't part of your pie for purposes of whether or not you qualify. Debbie, we do have a bunch of webinars coming up next week that maybe will help people listening saying, well, I kind of get what you're saying, but it's still quite confusing. Do you want to go through the webinar schedule?
Oh, sure. So next week is webinar week. as opposed to webinar Wednesday. So we have webinars at 2 in the afternoon every day next week, well, Monday through Friday. So Monday is Medicaid Estate Planning Myths. Okay, that's on Monday at 2 in the afternoon. That's kind of a fun one because we go through this is what people think and this is actually what the truth is, kind of like your 7-year look back, right?
Yeah.
Those are, that's a good one. Also, gifting. I can give everything away and then qualify for Medicaid. So there's a lot of really good myths, and it kind of hits home. On Tuesday, May 11th at 2 in the afternoon is Aging in Place. This is a great webinar to watch because it talks about how you can get care at home, right? How you would qualify for community Medicaid and what's kind of out there. And it's interesting because, and I talk about Kim all the time too. Kim's our geriatric care manager, and she is now getting her house ready so she can age in place. And Kim's younger than I am. Well, she's older than you, but, you know, she's younger than I am. She's like, look, this is my forever home. I plan on staying here, so I'm going to make sure that everything right now is set up so that when I age, I can age in place. So we go over that too, things that you may need to put in your house so that you can stay home. Wednesday, May 12th at 2 in the afternoon is Elder Law Basics, how to protect your home and investments for the cost of nursing home. And Thursday, May 13th at 2 in the afternoon is Wills versus Trusts. This is always a good one because a lot of people don't understand the difference between wills and trusts, and they think that if they have a will that they won't have to go through probate, and if they have a trust they don't need a will. Goes over different aspects of that. And then Friday is 2 in the afternoon is the top 10 reasons to plan your estate. This one I tried to do kind of like David Letterman, you know, the top 10 reasons. We go from 10 to 1. I'm not as cool as David Letterman, but I tried to like make this one kind of fun and make you think about the really reasons you need to plan, because most people spend more time trying to decide what kind of new flat screen TV they're going to have or vacation than they do their estate planning.
Well, the flat screen TV is a lot more fun to talk about, Debbie. You know that.
I know. I have my new one picked out.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's well, the one that, thin one that, you know, it looks like a picture on the wall. Have you seen those?
Oh, I have. Okay. Very cool. That's a space saver, right? You just put it on your wall and you don't need a cabinet to put it on top of. Very nice.
Yeah.
Debbie, you mentioned these webinars, and if people want to, so first of all, 2 o'clock in the middle of the day, right? Well, what if I'm working? Fortunately, a bunch of these are all recorded on our website. You can go and on demand kind of look at whatever webinars you want. You could also email us info@herzoglaw.com. You can go to our website, herzoglaw.com, and click on the seminars you want to attend and register and all that stuff. But I do want to point out, you on Tuesday, I think, are doing this webinar on aging in place. And we're kind of talking all about this. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, okay, care at home, age in place, all these nice terms, really, 2 p.m. Tuesday, make it a point to listen to Debbie and Kim. If you can't miss that, well, guess what? The next day, Elder Law Basics. I think Jane Marie's doing that one, probably with Kim as well. Super, super helpful. And, of course, if you can't make those, you could just check them out on demand. The devil's in the details on all these things. It's the reason why every answer we give most of the time is it depends, because the facts are so important, and those webinars help you get all those facts straight. You could also be our first caller by calling 518-476-5900. We're happy to talk to you and answer your questions as best we can. Debbie, as always, I do have a fact pattern that I wanted to bring up, if you don't mind. And, of course, callers, please feel free to interrupt me at any time. So you ready for this one, Debbie?
I am ready.
Okay. So a client does a power of attorney, not with us, but with an attorney. Names his spouse as his agent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a regular power of attorney, meaning that it is just covering paying bills, buying things, selling things, normal day-to-day transactions. It doesn't include the ability to do some pretty heavy-duty planning and moving assets around. Husband, who did the power of attorney, falls ill and, among other things, needs some surgeries, is in rehab. Spouse, wife, is the second spouse, not the first spouse. And this gentleman has children from a prior relationship. Okay, so he has two kids, and he has a second spouse. And they don't agree as to where husband slash dad should get his care. And the question becomes, who can make these decisions? Who's in charge? Okay? Now, he's got a power of attorney, right? So it should be his wife. Well, we certainly hope that'll be the case. His children don't believe that's exactly what he wanted, and they're questioning whether he had his wits about him when he did the power of attorney to begin with. And what ends up happening out of this, you know, long story short here, is that we're going to have to litigate. We're going to have to do a guardianship to figure out who's going to be in charge for this person. And in addition to, you know, burning down the relationships that people somewhat had prior to all these needs that came up, the fact is, if there was a little better planning in place, we would have never gotten here. Not just like legal documents, but the communication part too, right? Because, you know, I don't doubt that everyone involved in this loves this gentleman, right? Whether it's their spouse or it's their dad, right? And reasonable people could disagree as to what kind of care someone should get, right? But if there was just a little more planning, if the power of attorney, for example, which ours does, had a provision saying my agent may make decisions as to where I will be living if I'm incapacitated, and I want them to take into account what my care, my comfort, my friends, my family, but I'm entrusting this person to make this decision as opposed to being silent on that matter, right? Maybe that would help move things along or avoid a very, very costly guardianship. And I wanted to bring it up because we avert disaster all the time, but this fact pattern is not crazy, right? It's someone falls ill, and it doesn't have to be stepmom. It could be mom and kids disagree as to whether dad should be in a nursing home or not. And it ruins relationships, and you just got to plan ahead of time and plan the right way. And so that's my little public service announcement about how important a really good power of attorney is.
Debbie, David. We have our first caller of the day. It's Scott in Nassau.
Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Scott. Good morning, people. How's it going?
Good. How about
program.
You?
Very good. Good program. I was hearing you speak about there's like a ceiling, and I know there was a ceiling on like taxes on estates. Is it $5 million you said, or is it? You know what
for
I'm saying?
New York?
Or asking? What's that?
So, that's okay. You kind of cut out there for a minute. So, estate taxes, meaning taxes on what you pass away with, right? So,
correct,
they take
correct.
All of your assets, and then they figure out how much estate tax you owe, right?
Right.
So, it changes every year.
A limit? Okay, right.
So anyway, so if someone dies after January 1st, 2021, but before January 1st, 2022, $5,930,000. So okay. If you passed away this year and you have more than $5,930,000, your estate would have to pay tax. But if you died with under that amount, then your estate would not have to pay estate tax for New York.
So no estate tax, even like, does that include like properties? And not that I have it, but I'm just getting a general.
Yeah, it includes everything. Yeah, so okay. It's like a snapshot. It's the snapshot of when you pass away. So it's your retirement accounts, your life insurance, your checking, your savings, your property. So it's a snapshot of the value whenever you passed away.
Okay. Another question. If someone has a will, just generally, and it has to be probated, obviously, right, no matter what, that could generally take like a year, right, even a small amount. I'm talking like thousands. Does that take that long?
Well, the only time you have to probate a will is if you have assets individually in your name. Okay, so if your house is joint, your checking's joint, you have a beneficiary on your life insurance and your retirement accounts, then we don't have to probate your will. Okay, so if you had some stock or something that was individually in your name, then we would have to probate your will. Generally, a fairly simple estate, so if it's under $50,000
and there's no real property, right, meaning no house, no land, or anything like that, you can do a small estate administration, which takes a lot less time. The average estate, if there's not any people that are angry and fighting, the average estate usually takes about 7 months to wrap up, sometimes longer if we can't find beneficiaries, but generally estates are wrapped up in 7 months.
Okay. What about, and last question, I had a POA once for my aunt, but so you can put on a POA, am I saying that right? Yeah, power of attorney. You can have that person, say you're incapacitated, you can have another person, which is the POA. Can they work your accounts? You can have it so they can pay your bills with that POA and different things?
Well, yes, and it depends on what your power of attorney says, too. So what Dave was talking about is there's language in the powers of attorney that were done since 2009 that says that you can choose where the person lives and you can do gifting and everything like that. Is your aunt still alive?
No, this was prior. I was trying to remember. She had I think it was a durable one, but I think I could pay her, like I could get into her account only on that. On the POA, not after death.
You know, right, the power of attorney document.
Like pay her bills or pay something that was needed.
Mm-hmm. So whenever a person has a power of attorney, the power of attorney can pay their bills, take care of their finances, and then whenever the person passes away, the power of attorney is not good anymore, which is kind of leads you to probate, right? Kind of goes hand in hand. People think that because there's a power of attorney on the account, when the person passes away, that they can still get in there and get that money, but they can't.
Correct. I knew that. Okay. All right. That's just about what I wanted. It was general, but it's for, you know, somebody in the family information, data.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. You have a great day.
Thank you. It's very informative. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So great information, huh, Dave?
Yeah, well, he touched on, like, everything. You know, it was like, how much time do we have to answer this question? Because the devil is in the details, right? But the idea of a power of attorney, right, it's someone can do basic things for us, pay those bills, right, deal with our finances. And it's if we're incapacitated, but the way that the powers of attorney read, or the way we do it, at least, it doesn't take your incapacity to take effect. So, Debbie, you go on vacation somewhere and it's bad weather, you can't get back, you need some banking done, your agent can act for you. You're completely fine, right? It just so happens that you're out of town. Or, you happen to be in the hospital, God forbid, for something. You just can't get to something. It's really nice to have an agent in place. You know, we had a client who, during kind of the worst of COVID, he and his wife were in the hospital. They were at Ellis, and they were kind of in the COVID wing, right? And the power of attorney years ago had been prepared by us. And what we typically do is we'll send it around to agents for them to sign, and sometimes we'll send it to the backups and to the backup of the backup and so on. And it turned out that the last person on the list, this client's son, was not happy with certain parts of the estate plan. So he held on to the power of attorney and he never returned it to us. So what do we do? They're in the COVID wing. They can't get out. They got to deal with their bills. He wants his two daughters to be able to do everything. And that's what he had to begin with, by the way. It's just the literal physical original power of attorney is in, you know, someone else's possession. So we ran up there and had some nurses bring them a power of attorney with all the stickies. We did a little FaceTime document signing, which we were, you know, the governor allowed us to do during COVID. And just so that his daughters could help deal with the finances while he's in the hospital, mentally fully capable, right? He is not incapacitated, but he's unable physically to get to the bank. So that's a rather extreme circumstance, but the idea is we're not just waiting for someone's incapacity. It's a good just-in-case document, just like the healthcare proxy, a good just-in-case document. Just in case things aren't going very well, we have people who are ready to act immediately. We don't need to go and prove someone's incapacitated for that person to act. as opposed to this guardianship I was talking about before, where now the court's getting involved and they got to look at medical records and they got to look at psychological evaluations and they got to determine whether someone has mental capacity or not in order to give someone else some power. That power attorney skips all that, Debbie, because it just says, here's the power. I keep my own powers. If, Debbie, you made me your power of attorney, I guarantee you, you could still go to the bank and transact. It just means I could, in an emergency, also do that for you.
Debbie, David, we have another caller. We have Aaron in Albany.
Good morning, Aaron.
Aaron.
Good morning. I had a quick question about a DNR. Do you guys answer those questions?
Sure. We'll try to.
Okay. Well, the question I have is, I had one of those forms in front of me years ago, and I remember the reason that I didn't sign it is that I thought that what it was saying is that you do not want to have any intubation to save your life. Is that what that form entails?
In general, yeah.
Yeah. So what I'm thinking, the reason I didn't sign it is I thought, well, does that mean that if I have pneumonia or if I have COVID and being intubated is just a temporary thing to save my life, does that mean that they won't do it?
So literally it could mean that and I'll tell you what we use and most of our clients use as a form for that really touches on this, because this is what most people mean. But again, it's whatever the client wants. So not everyone has to have something like this. We use something called a living will to be the mouthpiece for someone when they're at the last stage of their lives. Right. And so in our living will, we kind of have a prerequisite. Before we get to all the rules that we're about to talk about, we have to be in this situation. What's the situation? You are incapacitated. You're unable to communicate or have the capacity to communicate. And then you have an incurable or irreversible condition that's going to lead to your death pretty soon, days, weeks. So in our case, the form we typically use, you're already on the way out. Nothing's going to change that. And we're saying, if I start to, you know, go faster, don't resuscitate me because, you know, we already know what the end result's going to be here, right? Nothing is going to keep me around forever.
But, okay.
And you mentioned COVID. So let me give a quick example. You have a incurable illness that's going to lead to your death in a relatively short period of time. And then, Aaron, you get COVID. And you don't just get COVID, you get a bad case of COVID, and you need to be put on a ventilator, right? Mm-hmm. This living will I'm talking about would say, no, you know what, don't put Erin on a ventilator. She has this provision that says if she has an incurable illness, which is not COVID, it's something else, and then you got COVID and you need a ventilator, don't put me on a ventilator. So there the DNR is, don't resuscitate me and keep me going if my breathing is tough while I'm otherwise dying. Different example.
Okay.
Right now, as we're on the phone with you, you got COVID, and you get a really bad instant COVID, and you need to be put on a ventilator. Of course, put Erin on a ventilator because you have a curable illness called COVID.
Okay.
Right?
So all right.
That's kind of the difference, and when we say the devil's in the details, it's because it is, right? What does that piece of paper you signed say? So are there do not resuscitate forms that don't get so specific and maybe don't have those prerequisites? Of course, yeah. Most of our clients sign the ones where they are saying, look, what I mean is if I'm dying and nothing's going to change that, make me comfortable.
Okay.
Give me pain.
All right. Now,
that kind of thing.
I understand. Okay. That makes sense. All right. That's what it, maybe the form that I was handed was a more of a generic form, and I read that and I said, well, wait a minute. Well, that doesn't mean I'm necessarily, just because I need a ventilator doesn't mean, you know, I'm going to die necessarily. Yeah, it might be a short
and
term.
That's just an example. We, you know, in our language, we have clients all the time. I'm sure Debbie has as well, where they want to fill it with the language. They say, well, you know what? I don't want, you know, mechanical, you know, breathing. I don't want a respirator. But I do want nutrition. I do want an IV, but I don't want you to restart my heart. And it could be whatever you want. It's your document.
I see. Okay. All right.
Thanks
well,
so
thank you very
call.
Much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
All right. We are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our break right here. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour coming up right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for,
options available for Medicaid planning, and more.
With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany,
West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs,
Executive Woods in Clifton Park,
and Flatbush Road in Kingston.
Our attorneys are here to help you.
If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David,
Jane Marie Harry, or Debbie,
please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581.
Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131.
Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010.
And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405.
Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. I'm Debbie Verney.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikin.
And we're two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm. We're here for the second half hour of the Estate Medicaid Planning Hour. We are going to be here to answer questions on estate planning, estate administration, and Medicaid planning. And you can be our first caller this half hour at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. When we got to the bottom of the first half hour, the last caller was talking about DNRs, and Dave gave a great example of living wills. And I just did want to mention that DNRs, lawyers can't do those. You have to have those signed by a doctor. So if you're going to have, there's two different kinds of DNRs. There's a hospital DNR, which is one that you do in the hospital, and there's an out-of-hospital DNR. But both of those have to be signed by doctors. So if you have any questions on that, that'd be a good thing to talk to your doctor about to make sure that you're on the same page. And Dave and I were talking about community Medicaid earlier in the half hour, right, Dave?
We were. The topic that I feel like leads every discussion we have at this firm, right? How to get care at home so you don't end up in some sort of facility somewhere.
Definitely. And everybody wants to stay home. I mean, honestly, if you have a situation where you have a choice between going into a nursing home and or staying home, the choice is going to be staying at home as long as you can get care. We have a situation where I had a client whose mom was failing, and so her daughter, who lives in an apartment building, actually rented the apartment next door for her mom, and then we started getting community Medicaid for her mom, right, so that her mom could have care coming and going. So even though the daughter's next door and she's working from home, we were able to get mom on community Medicaid so that there's care that's coming and going and taking care of mom, because mom wasn't at the point where she needed 24/7 care. She had a cognitive impairment, and she would try to leave the apartment if she didn't have someone there, right? Or if she wasn't busy doing something. So the situation we have is we have caregivers coming in that are working with her and mom to make sure that mom is safe, right? But even though mom doesn't have a lot of other issues, she does have this cognitive impairment. She forgets where she is and she wants to leave. And so community Medicaid is paying for care to come into the apartment next door to the daughter.
And that's almost like the best example of how the program could work, because for someone like that, they might be otherwise healthy. And it's not like they need a lot of technical assistance. They just need someone to hang out with to make sure they don't walk out the door and keep walking or leave the stove on or something like that. And when you have a lot of hours that are needed, that can really be expensive. And kudos to them for, you know, listening to and understanding that there's a program out there that can help, right? Caregiving could be an issue and finding the right pieces to make a home care plan work. But they must have recognized that even if there's not a ton of time needed now, you know, things go in one direction, right? You're not going to get younger you're not going to, you know, the dementia is not going to go away, unfortunately. It's going to actually get worse over time, right? And even if it's not something like that, it might be just age-related things, age-related memory loss, age-related, you know, bodies breaking down. And the idea is, even if there's not a huge benefit to your family yet, you want to grow with the program. You want to make it so that, you know, we're not, this is the situation we deal with a lot, Debbie, right? A loved one falls, goes to the hospital, goes to rehab, all's well, and then we get a call, a frantic call from daughter, from son saying, I was told my mom is no longer covered by Medicare for this rehab, and I'm told that she's got to go home right now or she's got to stay in the nursing home. I work. How am I going to be able to take care of my mom and get her at home? And the problem is, even though we can get qualification with no look-back period, Debbie, we can get someone qualified pretty quick. It's going to be months and months. We talked about this just the other day. It's going to be months and months before there's caregivers paid by Medicaid, ready, willing, and able to provide the care. So you kind of need to do this ahead of time, right? It's something that we're not very good at, planning ahead of time for things that we may need. But, you know, get out there. Create a trust. Give yourself options. And, you know, listen, go to that webinar on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on aging in place, on elder law basics. Just get educated on it. You know, don't put your head in the sand here. Listen to Debbie and Kim on Tuesday or Jay Marie and Kim on Wednesday and get your information, because we don't want you to be in a situation where, you know what's hitting the fan and we don't have care in place. And are we going to have mom in a nursing home because we didn't plan ahead of time? That's the last thing we want.
Well, and it puts a lot of tension on families, especially with the situation where you have, this is another client that I have, we have husband and wife, and his mother is failing, and she, you know, they set up an in-law apartment for her, she's living in the home, but there's a lot of tension between the husband and wife now, because with COVID, you know, husband's still going to work, wife is working from home, and now his mom is there, right? So, and she's got some issues. So they said, you know, I'm here, I'm at home now, I'm trying to work, and we need some care in the house because I can't be with her 24/7. And, you know, there's a little tension between the husband and wife because the husband's off at work every day. So he really doesn't have a clue as to what the wife is doing and trying to take care of mom. So another one where we ended up getting some community Medicaid, just a few hours. And there's a reassessment, kind of like Harry's mother-in-law, right? She started out with 6 hours a week and ended up with 10 hours a day, 7 days a week. So you're not necessarily stuck with 6 hours for the rest of your life. It's one of those things where if you get in, you get the care set up, and then you can age in place, just like the webinar says, right? But you can get more and more care based on what your needs are.
Exactly right. And look, we have tons of fact patterns where everyone wants care at home and it just doesn't work. Finding caregivers is too difficult. The house is too difficult. You know, the reality is we don't want our home to be Grand Central Station to a bunch of caregivers we don't know. And we're forced into that because we don't have caregivers that we trust or we want. None of these fact patterns are ever good, right? Like I say to people all the time, Debbie, you know, we don't work on sunny days. Like, that doesn't happen because there are no sunny days in this office. We're kind of doom and gloom all the time because we have to be, because that's what we're planning for. We're hoping that won't happen, and we want these options, and we want for your family members, for your son, your daughter, right, to be able to say and look in the mirror and say, we tried everything we could to keep mom or dad at home or in our place or this or that. And if it turns out they need assisted living, if it turns out they need a nursing home, it's because nothing else worked. And we just want all those options available to you. What works, that's beyond our control, right? We don't know what's going to end up working. There's, you know, there are nursing homes exist for a reason. But ideally, we don't want you to go to the nursing home because you need 10 hours a day of help, Debbie. We want you to stay at home when you need 10 hours of help a day. We want you in a nursing home when you need 24 hours a day of help, and that's not available at home.
It's true. A lot of people, but again, a lot of people don't realize that you can get care at home and that Medicaid will pay for it.
It's funny because Kim's always out in the Saratoga office, and I hear her talking all the time to different people on the phone about what kind of care is available and who you can look to getting care from and what the situations are. I mean, she's a great asset, and she knows a lot of people, and she knows a lot of situations, and we always kind of go and bounce things off of her because she always has great insight as to what can be done.
Absolutely. We'd love for you to be our first caller this second half at 518-476-5900. Debbie, you did get an email this past week from a client who's also a listener. Hi, how are you? I know you're out there. And she had a wonderful question that sometimes we're asked, which is, okay, Medicaid is for people who don't have a lot of assets, and what does it mean, or how are we supposed to feel if we're planning so that we essentially have no assets, right? That's kind of what's happening, and why is that right, and so on and so forth. And may I have the floor, Debbie, for a minute? I should have asked you before I started talking. But the issue is this, right? There's a program out there, Medicaid, we keep talking about it. And for home care, there's no pre-planning that's needed at the moment. That's going to change at the end of the year. There'll be a 2.5-year look-back period. For nursing home care, there's a 5-year look-back period. What that means, like, what does the look-back period? It means if you plan 5 years ahead of time, you have nothing to worry about. Right. That if you created a trust 5 years ahead of time for purposes of Medicaid, you qualify for the care that you need, and they will pay for it, and we don't need to spend down all your assets, because on paper, technically, what assets do you have in Medicaid's eyes? Not much, because whatever is in your trust is exempt. And sometimes people feel icky about this. They say, well, wait a minute, I never want to be on Medicaid. Well, everyone gets their Social Security payments, and they're fine with it, right? And why are they fine with it? Well, they paid into it their entire lives, right? And so you get Social Security every month based on your working career, and you know what? You deserve it. And when you turn 65, Debbie, one day, you're going to be getting Medicare. Why? Because you've paid into this, and we need to make sure that our elderly population has health care because you paid into it. And the largest payer of long-term care services is the Medicaid program. And guess what? You've paid into that your whole life as well. So it's a program that you can qualify for. You just have to plan ahead of time when it comes to something like a nursing home. Currently, you don't have to plan that much ahead of time when it comes to home care, but we want you to be ahead of that 5-year look-back period. And the analogy I always give is if your accountant called you up and said, hey, great news, you qualify for this new deduction in 2021, Debbie. You're not going to say, well, you know what? I know I can qualify for that deduction. I don't want it. I'm yet to ever hear anyone say they don't want that tax deduction. And essentially, it's the same thing. It's a program on the books you can plan ahead for. That's what the books say. You can do it. That's what the law says. You just have to plan ahead of time. So hopefully that helps that listener out there and clarifies this for other people.
It's funny. I had a financial planner that I'm working with here in Saratoga, and we have a client that he referred to me, and he was talking to the brother, who's her power of attorney, and he was kind of like the same thing. He really didn't understand Medicaid, and his explanation was, okay, so you're sitting in a restaurant, and you and the table next to you are eating the exact same thing, except when you get your bill, you get a bill for the whole price, and they have a 40% off voucher. So, so that's basically Medicaid. So you've got Medicaid helping you pay for your nursing home. It's kind of like helping you pay for dinner, right? So if you can both get the voucher, why wouldn't you get the voucher and get a reduced price for your dinner?
I like it. I like where his head's at. The other part of it, Debbie, is we don't do nursing home planning. We've never done nursing home planning because none of our clients are planning to be in the nursing home. I mean, it's a little play on words here, but it's true. We do long-term care planning. We want you to plan for your long-term care needs, wherever it may be, however you want it. And I like options, right? I like that our clients can always choose to unprotect their money as they see fit whenever they want to. Based on the rules of the trust and New York law, money can be pulled out of the trust. you can unprotect money. You can't just instantly protect money, but you can instantly unprotect it. So you know what I say? Let's protect that money. And then later on, if you say, you know what, I don't want to be on Medicaid, cool. Take money out of your trust and pay for your care as you need, as you see fit. But at least you have options. And oh, by the way, you avoided probate the whole time because we did put that house into the trust. We did put that account that's just in your name with no beneficiaries into your trust. So if nothing else, life is good. We avoided probate and the trust paid for itself. So it's really an important thing, but there's so much bad information out there and misinformation, right? There is no 7-year look back period. Your will does not avoid probate, right? The Medicaid Myths webinar on Monday will tell you more about that. But there's a lot of bad information in our industry, Debbie, and I feel like we're constantly fighting to get the right information out there.
We are, and you guys can be our next caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Last couple of weeks, we haven't had time to get all the callers in, so get your calls in quickly. It's one of those days that's actually starting to clear up a little bit. People are, like, getting up, having their coffee, and they're ready to start their Saturday.
Absolutely. Debbie, you're doing the Aging in Place webinar on Tuesday, 2 p.m. You mentioned you're also going to be doing the one on Friday, top 10 reasons to plan your estate. I didn't ask you about this before, but I'm putting you on the spot. Do you feel like giving one of the top 10 reasons out there to people as a little taste, a little snippet?
No. I mean, they're very the same ones. I mean, it's funny that you ask, because the first one that comes to mind is planning for incapacity, which we've talked about a lot today. But another one, and a lot of people don't think about it, is newly married couples that have new babies, people that just bought their first house, kids that are turning 18. These are all people that need estate planning documents. I had a gentleman that came in the other day, did his estate planning documents. He has two kids, and he's like, how much would you charge to do wills, healthcare proxies, and powers of attorney for my kids, because they really need them? I always talk about the fact that whenever my son went away to college, I made sure that I had a healthcare proxy and a power of attorney for him, because I wanted to be able to find out what was going on while he was away, and just in case something happened to him. He had documents in place, and you can call me a helicopter mom or whatever you want, but there were times whenever he had, you're laughing. Anyway, there were times when he had medical issues where I got the call and he was up in Potsdam and I had to jump in the car and go, but they were still calling me to make those decisions. So I think that's very important that, you know, you think you're invincible at 18 and you think nothing's ever going to happen to your kids. You really need to make sure that you have these documents in place.
Debbie, David, we have another caller. Yep. We have Judy from Stillwater.
Good morning, Judy.
Hi, I have a question about Medicaid, I think it is. And it's based on an experience that I had back in 1997. I know it's a long time ago. My gram died, and she didn't have a lot of money. I mean, her estate was worth probably like $30,000. So my lawyer, I was the executor. My lawyer, we went through all of the stuff to give each of the people their part. And at the last minute, we got a bill from, I think it was Medicaid, to pay back for her prescription drugs that she had received over, you know, I don't know what period of time. And she wasn't on very many drugs. She was on like a heart medication, cheap heart medication, and something else. So the bill was just like a couple of $1,000s, if I recall. But it was still a surprise, at least to me, and I think it was a surprise to my lawyer. And again, this was back in 1997. So I guess my question is, I hear you talk about community Medicaid. Is that when you die, does your people, your beneficiaries, you have to pay that back to the government?
That's a great, great question. And the answer, as always, is maybe. Medicaid can put a lien on someone's estate, okay? So I'm not going to talk about what happened in the late 90s with your gram, because I don't know. But in terms of right now, if someone's on Medicaid, they're getting home care, and eventually they pass away, or they're in a nursing home on Medicaid, eventually they pass away. Medicaid has the right to try to recover assets from your estate. Okay, they can put a lien on your estate. What that means, the word estate, it means the assets that are governed by a some sort of administration of your estate, meaning if you have beneficiaries on your assets, if you have your assets in a trust, if you own your assets with someone else with something called rights of survivorship, those assets, they avoid your will, they avoid a probate, they avoid an estate administration, so they also avoid the lien. So, you know, we don't talk about this as a big reason to do a trust or to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row, but the fact is Medicaid can put a lien on your estate, but you can control whether or not you have an estate by doing things like trust, by doing things like having beneficiaries. So the answer is yes, but it's something that you can avoid.
Okay, thank you. One more. Are trusts very expensive? I heard that trusts were very expensive to create. Is that true, or...
Well, I don't know if expensive is the right word for it, but it certainly will cost thousands of dollars. How much depends on the type of trust and every individual fact pattern, and it's more expensive than doing a will. But you're looking at several thousand dollars, but there's a big range. You know, there's a different attorneys in the area that charge a lot more than others, and you know, just like any other service out there.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much, because that's always one. You know, I always wondered why we got this bill that we didn't expect, and it was, you know, a surprise. So thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
And Debbie, you know, that's a reason why estate administration can take so long, by the way, because you might get that bill 7 months in from a creditor like Medicaid or any other creditor. And guess what? You got to pay that bill.
Right. And that's why the court has you keep the estate open for a limited amount of time to make sure that all the bills are paid. And it takes hospitals and nursing homes usually quite a while to process their billing. That's why I always tell people, whenever you're making distributions from estates, let's hold back a little bit of money just in case, because what happens is it's a lot easier to give more money to your beneficiaries later than to call them up and say, hey, we have a $10,000 bill here. Everybody needs to kick back $5,000. So we usually hold on to a little bit of money at the end just for those just-in-case expenses, and then after the estate is closed, then it's closed.
And another version of that, if there's not a lot of money in an estate and there's a couple bills that we know about, we're not in a rush to pay those bills, because we got to treat all the creditors the same, whether they show up on the first day of the estate or the last day of the estate. They have an equal priority. So, you know, I half jokingly say at that point, we're not worried about credit scores, right? We have an estate situation. So there's no rush. Take our time. Make sure we do it right. Sometimes that long period of time that the estate takes is almost a blessing, because it keeps people from acting too quickly and making sure we know all the assets, all the expenses, make sure there's enough assets to pay the expenses. And if there's not, if let's say there's $10 and we owe $100, we got to treat all those creditors the same and make sure they're getting the same percentage of whatever bill they have. So you got to be careful. And it's, you know, self-serving for us to say, Debbie, but it's always good to use an attorney for some, obviously, estate planning and for sure estate administrations and trusts and so on.
What I was going to say is this month we don't have the what to do when a loved one dies. We're not doing that one live. But if you go to our website at www.herzoglaw.com and you click on the estate and Medicaid planning webinars, you click on seminars and then estate and Medicaid planning webinars, what to do when a loved one dies, actually it's one of the ones that Jane Marie did, is on there. And it kind of goes through step by step exactly what estate administration is, how it happens, what you need to do. It's really a great webinar that talks about what to do.
Debbie, why do you think people are so willing to do things like prepay a funeral or get life insurance, but they're not ready to see a webinar about what to do when the loved one dies, or they're not ready to create their own will themselves? Because I think it's fascinating. I know we're at the end of the program here, but what, you know, go watch the webinar. Just learn about it. We're not saying, you know, everyone knows we're all going to die one day. We're not saying it's going to be tomorrow. But, you know, get informed. It makes all the sense in the world to me.
Well, it does. And the ones that are pre-recorded, I mean, I know if you don't have time at 2 in the afternoon or 10 in the morning or whatever, the ones that are pre-recorded, I always joke with people and go, hey, just go on the website, watch them, go get your drink, get your popcorn, treat it like Netflix, right? You can pause it, you can go come back to it and do whatever you want. And you can fast forward through it. It's something that you can watch, and there's a lot of good information out there. Not all of it will pertain to everyone, but it's just good to know. Information is good to know.
Information is good. I like that. I'm going to start using that.
Hey, you know, it's like I need more coffee. What can I say? It's one of those mornings.
Well, it's not just any morning, because tomorrow is Mother's Day. And so for all the mothers out there, have a wonderful day. You earned it. Not just today, but every day. I was not paid by my wife to say that. I'm saying that by myself. Ben, I hope you have some good plans for Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
I hope you're treating your wife all right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We'll be going out to brunch tomorrow afternoon. So
very nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. So wow, we've got a couple of minutes to say, just remember again, this is the webinar week. Every day this week, Monday through Friday, there's a webinar at 2 o'clock, and you can register by going to www.herzoglaw.com. You click on the seminar tab, and then you click on register, and you can register for any of the webinars.
Absolutely. And if you're a little squeamish, you have questions, you want answers, you want to come in, free consult every time, all the time, 518-465-7581.
Happy Mother's Day. Everyone have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.